Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
I'm a little bit out of my league this morning. I'm speaking in English. In Jan Kempdorp, where I come from, when you speak in English, they'll think you'll speak in tongues. I'm not so sure about that. We have to check on that, what is going to be the heavenly language eventually. But I do believe it's going to be a spiritual one. Father, we thank you this morning for this honor, this privilege to be yours, to realize that you love us out of all proportion, for the privilege to have fallen in love with you and to know that you are our lives. Without you, we have nothing. You are everything. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit, Father, not only in us, but pouring out of us. Your anointing moving among us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, very often when I have the privilege to speak as a guest speaker somewhere, I speak to a lot of people who haven't heard the gospel yet. They've been in church for a long time, but they haven't heard the gospel. The gospel is supposed to be good news. Eu angelos. Eu is good. Angelos is the message. It's a good message. But we know that religion has changed the good message actually to bad news. But, of course, you guys, you understand good news. So what do I want to say to you then this morning? I hear Shane says he's also preaching the truth. What do you say, the real truth or the true gospel? The true gospel, okay. Now the true gospel is about truth. And the one thing we must remember, truth does not set you free. The truth has always been there, but people are not free. It is the knowledge of the truth that sets you free. Okay, but before you say amen too quickly, you need something more here. You see, Shane or Peter or me, we may be preaching revelation to you, something which the Spirit of God has revealed to me. I share that with you. For me, it's revelation. You receive it as sense knowledge. That sense knowledge has to be transcripted, translated inside of you into revelation knowledge. Now, revelation knowledge is also an easy word that we use regularly, but nowadays I'm starting to think again about these things. Revelation knowledge should do something else to me. You see, Mary said, when the angel visited her, she said, "Here is the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And that's the way she conceived. So revelation knowledge is more than just revelation. It's to conceive. To conceive the word of God. You see, in Mary, the sound of God's word became a son. The sound that you hear needs to become son. It needs to become a living person. You cannot have a relationship with words. You can only have a relationship with a person. So if the words are not translated into a person inside of you, we are not speaking yet of revelation. True revelation is the Word becoming flesh in you, like the Word became flesh in Mary. And that will have an effect on your life, because it will change your flesh into Word. The Word became flesh, and He dwelled among us. And then he died for us. He paid the penalty. And He was resurrected. Okay? And He ascended into heaven, and He said, it's to your benefit that I leave you, because then I'll format myself into spirit. And I'll come and abide in you. He says, in the house of my Father there's many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, what is the room that he spoke about? Not our mansion in heaven. We are his mansion. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what he did. He went to the cross to cleanse our bodies, the temple. To sanctify it for the indwelling of his Spirit. And now, He sent His Spirit, and you see, we struggle with the translations. We see in Colossians 1:27, it says, Christ, ons Afrikaanse vertaling sê, Christus onder julle is die hoop van die heerlikheid. Christ among you is the hope of glory. Some translations say, Christ in you is the hope of glory. I don't know which one you follow, but I think it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That little word "en" in Greek does mean, it can mean in, it also can be of, it can also be among. So there's various different translations which you can use here for the same word, and it will be grammatically correct. But think of it this way. We are all children of God. We'll come to that just now, but let's assume that for the moment. So we all carry the Spirit of God in us, okay? But does that change the world? What will change the world? When the Spirit in us becomes effective among us, and that means that the Spirit has to be poured out of us. The anointing has to be flowing through us, manifesting among us. It's only when it's among us when it's going to take effect, when it's going to change Stellenbosch, or change the world. As long as the Spirit is in us, and that's what we often do, we carry the Spirit in us, we marvel about the Spirit that we have in us, but we do not allow the Spirit to pour out. In and I was driving home from Heidelberg in Transvaal a couple of weekends ago. We had a mannekamp there, and we left early the Sunday morning to be in time for the church service in Jan Kempdorp, but we had to leave about 5 o'clock. And we passed the Vaal Dam. And you know, you are having the most serious drought you've ever had here in the Western Cape. Now we had it up there where we are. And we are at the bottom end of the valve system, so when it starts drying up, it dries up with us first. So we were really desperate for rain, and eventually it rained, and that specific Sunday morning they opened the sluice gate of the valve dam. But the interesting thing is, they didn't open the gate until the dam was full. See, the prophet Joel said, I will send you the teacher of righteousness. And then with him will come the rain, the former and the latter, like in the beginning. It's only Philip's translation that getting this right there. The King James missed it completely. Go and read Philip's. Philip's and the Afrikaans translation. Afrikaans is the farmer. And then he says, then, because of the rain, the outpouring of the former and the latter rain, he says, the threshing floor will be overflowing or will be filled with wheat. Wheat is bread. pray this word. What is the threshing floor? The threshing floor is my mind, your mind, the way you think. You see, the word repentance is another unfortunate word in the Bible. It's a word that does not exist. It's not a biblical word. Repentance comes from the Latin penance, which means to pay penalty. And then the King James translation came and added a re to it and said, you need to continually to pay again and again and again penalty. That's repent. But the Greek word which is used in the original is the word metanoia. Meta means with. Nous means to think. To think like God thinks. That's repentance. True repentance, if you want to use the word repentance, means to think the way God thinks about things. To think about yourself the way God thinks about you. To think about your neighbor the way God thinks about him or her. Once we get there, then we are beginning to agree with God. And then our confessional change. You see, confession for us, you probably know all these things. Confession for us was to confess our sins, to be forgiven, to call it by name. Okay, that's what the word says. Confession is the word homologeo. Homo means one, logos, word, means to agree with God. If I think like God, I'll agree with Him. Now, Peter has said it this morning, Jesus with one sacrifice forever has forgiven us. So, to think in agreement with God, I need to realize God has forgiven. Okay? And if God has forgiven, then I can agree with Him. If I agree in mind with Him, if the threshing floor is full of wheat, of word, of what God says, then my words will be the same and I'll say, Lord, thank you, you have forgiven me. Quite a difference there. All right. So you see how my confession changed if my thoughts changed. But this is not the end of it. Then Joel went on saying, not only the threshing floor, but also the vine vat. Is that right? Vine vat will be overflowing with wine and oil. Wine and oil? Spirit. What is the vine vat? My mind again. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You see, if we allow the Spirit of God to change our mind according to God's purpose, according to God's pattern of thinking, we will start talking, we will start speaking, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, I can make lots of noise. But if it's not from my heart, it's noise. Listen, I can worship, but it's not, if it's not from my heart, it's noise. We don't want to make noise. We really want to be in the real thing. So then Joel says, he says, the vine fat will be overflowing with oil. And wine. Meaning that the sluice gate can only open when one, the vine vat is full. Do we allow the vine vat? Do we allow our mind to be saturated? This is the point. We need to be saturated. Let's move on one point. He says, we're talking about faith. I don't want to preach this morning. I just want to share a couple of things. We're talking about faith. You see, faith, somebody said, faith is a noun. It doesn't work. We need to believe. That's the verb. To believe. Om te gloe, ten oor geloof. Nee. But I want to go one up on this one. The word faith is the Greek word pistis, which comes from pisteo, and pisteo means to be convinced, to be persuaded. My question is, are you persuaded, or do you believe? There's a difference. Can you pick it up? There's a serious difference between persuasion and belief. We made faith a verb, a work. And you see, the true gospel that you guys are preaching says that we are over works. We are in grace now. Now, if we are in grace, let's be in grace then. But you'll see how easy it is for us to adopt works again into our way of thinking. And that's not God's way of thinking. We need to be transformed in our minds as far as that's concerned. So what happens? What happens when grace enters the scene? Let's take an example. The gospel that I grew up with, maybe most of you. Wie van julle praat Afrikaans hierom? Shane, it's only you. Okay. So julle sal my verstaan as ek Afrikaans praat, nee. Right. Waar was ek? Die evangelie waarmee ek groot geword het, was not good news, was bad news. That gospel said, in Afrikaans, you'll understand that. Ek is in sonde ontvang en gebore. Being conceived in sin. And I'm a child of God's wrath. I was carried to a baptismal dingetjie met water in. En dit is oor my lewe gespreek. When I had no say in it. So I grew up that way. When I understood these things, it was so imprinted in me what a sinner I am and how bad I am, how I grieve God, that I really had to do something about it. So let's sum up the gospel, that one. Daai evangelie was, ek is 'n sondaar, ek is op pad hel toe. Sinner heading for hell. So what was my reaction? Man's reaction is according to his design. What is your design? Has God designed you for hell? Has God designed you for damnation? Tell me, is there anyone that can say, God designed me for damnation? Ek is nou maar so. That's not our design. So we reacting on bad news according to our design. We desire negatively. I'll explain why I say desire. We desire negatively. We do not want to go to hell. So what do? We receive Jesus as our Savior. Then we have a ticket to heaven. Sê vir my, wie van julle wat hier is, het nie deur Johannes 1:12 kind van God geword? Almal wat hom aangeneem het aan hulle, het hy mag gegee om kinders van God te word. Wie van julle het nie so by God uitgekom? Jy sien, so Jesus, om hom aan te neem, was ons kaartjie hemel toe. And we see millions of Christians across the world who has received Jesus as their Savior. They've been taught that. They prayed the prayer after somebody else. Okay? And now they have the ticket to heaven. But their lives doesn't change. In some cases, there was a love relationship, or a relationship established. A relationship of sorts. Jy sien, ek het 'n verhouding van soorte gehad. Ek het 'n verhouding gehad met God, maar 'n verhouding van soorte. En daardie verhouding het berus op wat ek nog moet doen, en wat God nog moet doen. But the true gospel says, God has done, and I don't have to do. But I didn't understand that. So you see, what I'm saying is, I hear bad news, I'm a sinner, I'm going to hell. I don't want to go to hell. So I received Jesus not to go to hell, to get the ticket to heaven. What was the driving force here? Fear. God did not give us a spirit of fear. So that was not truth. That was fear. That was the devil speaking. Right? Goed. Toe hoor ek julle gospel.
Your gospel, mine gospel. Whose gospel is it anyway? Okay. Then I heard the gospel. Then I heard the true gospel. And that is that Jesus, 2,000 years before I was born, Jesus came to this earth. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. He said, unless someone is born. Sorry, guys. This translation has got us on our knees. Dit ons is verkeerd met die goede. Jy sien die woord wedergeboorte bestaan nie. Hallo, is jy nog met my? The word being born again, actually a fabricated one. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he says, unless someone is born from above, you will not see the kingdom of God. You will not see the reign. You will not see God's glory. We sang about glory this morning, by the way. Glory, the word doxa, comes from the word dokeo, which means God's original intent. What was God's original intent? Let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, and let them rule. Aha, will ye? Let them rule. That's God's original intent. So to see his glory, that was glory. Now Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless I am born, unless God tensy God van bo af ingegryp het en vir sy geboorte uit die hemel geskenk het, kan ons die koninkryk van God nie sien nie. We cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus understood it wrongly. He said, how can I go back into my mother's womb? I was an 8-pounder then, now I'm an 80-kilogrammer. Jesus said, no. What is born, who is born out of flesh, is flesh. But we need it to be born out of spirit. Okay, so what happened? Jesus came out of spirit. He was conceived out of spirit. He didn't come from the seed of Adam, he came from the seed of God. Okay, he was conceived. Mary carried him for the full 9 months. Then she gave birth. And the word became flesh. Okay. So, and 33 years later, he went to the cross. He paid the penalty. God made him who knew no sin so that, with our sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. When did this happen? 2,000 years ago. When did God forgive us? You see, the important thing here, and I mean, you know these things, but it's important, if you look at the timeline, if I say, this is Adam, and I don't look like, but let's make this the cross. This is Jesus. And we are here now. That's 6,000 years. Okay. What does Paul says? Paul says, we are convinced that if one died for all, then all have died. What does he say? He says, if, say for instance, he's arguing it, the point, he says, if we could find one who pay the penalty for everyone, then it would have the effect as if every one of us went to that cross, went to hell, paid our own debt before God. We know that Adam was the source of the problem, right? So if you want to go back in the past, you have to go back to Adam. So let's cut out all the nonsense in between. Just go straight back to Adam. 6,000 years. It says, because of the offense of one, sin reigned. Sin came into the world. And everyone fell in sin because of that. So the reason why a man became a sinner was not because of what he did. He played his part, of course, but because of the way he was born. He was born in sin. He was conceived in sin because of Adam. Because we were all in seed form within Adam when he sinned. Okay? But then, the last Adam came. Not born out of Adam. Right? And now Peter can say, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Peter says this, he says, blessed be the God and Father of Jesus Christ, who sent us the anagenao, We say the new birth. The Anna Genel. Anna is from above. Genel is the birth from above. Through his resurrection. He gave us, as a living hope, he gave us the resurrection or the birth from above. And in verse 23 of 1 Peter 1, Peter says this. He says, we have been born not out of corruptible seed. We have been born out of the last Adam, incorruptible seed. Because Romans 5 and 18 says, if by the trespass of one sin reigned, we were all condemned as sinners, so by one deed of righteousness, one deed of obedience of the Son, we were all justified before God. Okay. Now, if we take the argument that Paul has, he says, if one died for all, then all have died. Now, listen to this if. If is always this playing around. If is a condition. If one could find one, then it would mean. But now, Paul cancels his own if. He says, and now one has died. We have found that one. So the if is changed now. It's not the if anymore. Because one died for all. It has the effect that all of us die. And look at verse 16. Where are we now? Oh, okay. I like you. I'm in 2 Corinthians 5:16 now. He says, we therefore know no man after the flesh anymore. Now, this is for me the important thing. And probably you know this as well, but let me just have my share this morning. You see, God makes a distinction between our stand before Him, our position of righteousness because of the Son, because of Jesus' resurrection. Romans 4:25 says He was delivered up, given up because of our misdeeds, and He was resurrected because of our justification. Listen to this one. Resurrected because of our justification. Which one was first? It was our offenses that caused Him to be delivered, given up, sent Him to the cross. It was our justification that raised Him from the dead. God could not raise Him from the dead until we were sanctified, until we were restored, until we were forgiven. Can you imagine that? So I want to ask, the point that I'm trying to make is, now He says, where are we? Okay, yeah, that's a good one. He was delivered for our offenses. Okay, this is the King James, it says for. The New King James says, because of, which is the better translation. Because the word is dia in Greek, which and the channel of an act. Because of our offenses, He was delivered. And because of our justification, He was resurrected. So when were you set right with God? When were you justified? Before Jesus could be raised from the dead. I just want to get your mindset in time right. Because the next verse 16, Paul says, because one has died for all, he says, we therefore consider no man after the flesh anymore. Henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. Yeah, though we know, we have known Christ after the flesh, but that's the way Paul saw Him. Yet now, henceforth, we know Him no more. Now look at verse 17, and this is the most misinterpreted piece of scriptures in the Bible, probably. Look what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So what did we say? What did religion tell us? Religion said, if you receive Jesus, you have a ticket to heaven. If you receive Jesus, you're a new creation. Welcome, you have just received Jesus, you have prayed the prayer, and now you're a child of God. Welcome to the club. Okay? Look what he says. He says, therefore, if any man, there's the if again. Tell me, if Paul says in Colossians 2, verse 12 to 14, he says the following. He says, let me read it, and it's much, much easier in English for me. I say, julle wat dood was deur die misdade en die onbesneedenheid van julle vlees. I say, buried with him in baptism. 12, Okay, wait, also.
No, no, that's not the one that I'm looking for.
Ah, just one back.
Verse 13.
And you, here we are. And you being dead in your sins and an uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him. What does he say? He says, he has quickened us together with him. What does it mean? For us to be quickened, in other words, to be raised with him, it has to mean that we were included in Christ in the cross. When the Son of God hung on that cross, God saw you. He saw me. That's why when he looked at you today, he sees his Son. Okay. We were included in his death and his resurrection. That's the way God works. That's the way God thinks. So he says, we were quickened together with him. So we were quickened here. That's why Peter says, we are not born out of the sand of Adam's transgression. We are born out of the rock of what Jesus did on our behalf. Can you understand that? Huh? Okay, right. So what happens here? When you were born, when I were born, we were born out of uncorruptible seed. That's the face of your birth. That's what James is talking about when he says we need to look in the mirror. And we need not forget the face of our birth. Our natural face. That's our Genesis face. That's the face with which we were born because of Jesus. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5:17 now. If we were included, now look at Paul's if. He says, if any man be in Christ, were we in Christ? Yes, we were. Okay. That's established now. So it's not an if. You see, it's a because. You see, you can use that word and you can translate it as if it's grammatically correct. Or you can translate it with because. It's grammatically correct as well. Okay, so now say, if anyone be in Christ, because we were included in Christ, in his death, in his resurrection, because we were included, God sees a new creation. As far as God is concerned, the old things have passed away. Everything has become new. It has got nothing to do with you receiving Jesus. This is all God. Know you, all God. But then comes verse 18. Look what verse 18 says. It says, all these things that I'm talking about, Paul says, all these things are from God. You see, it's not us, it's God. He says, who has reconciled himself to us. God says, I've taken everything away. I've taken all the misdeeds, all the transgressions. I brought all the iniquities. I made him sin with your sin. God is not the creator of sin. God took our sin, he put it on his Son. On that cross. Okay. I see, I've reconciled myself in Jesus Christ. And I've given you the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what is the ministry of reconciliation? You see, we've been taught, and ek het vir julle dit vroeër gesê, most of us entered into the household of God through John 1:12. We have received Jesus. Which is a good thing. Which is a good thing. I spoke to a pastor the other day, he said, How did you become a child of God? I say, out of fear for hell or out of a desire for a love relationship? He says, out of fear for hell. I say, it's a good reason, but not the right reason. I said, in your congregation, he says, all of them. That's not good news. That's fear. It can never last. That is building on sand. Jesus said, the man building on sand. You see, religion was built on the sinfulness of man. That's sand. But the moment we build a relationship on the rock, then the storms can come. And the storms are going to work. I'm asking myself the question, why is it that so many well-meaning folk, well-meaning Christians, it's just if they don't get through it. They have received Jesus. God is not spiteful. I've received Jesus for the wrong reason. Maybe you too. But he still came in. But you see, he's here. He's knocking at the door of my mind. He says, I want to dine with you. I want to fill your wine vat. I want to fill it with spirit. I want to fill it with my thoughts. I want you to change your mind. How often are we the victims of the situation which Jesus mentioned when he said, in the parable of the sower, he said, for those outside, it comes in parable. For you, it's been given to understand the mysteries of God. Parables, he says, because you look without seeing. You will listen without hearing. Because the hearts of my people has been, what is the word? Het stomp geword, said the Afrikaans. It's been blunted. And you cannot hear, cannot see, cannot receive. You are going to heaven. It's forgotten us about heaven. Why did he send us to earth? To battle to get back into heaven? Huh? Or did he send us? What is his idokeo? What is his glory? His glory is his intent. What is his intent? Not for us to have a battle for so many years to get back to heaven. His intent is for us to represent him. God did not give himself a body in this earth. He decided to use yours. Now how can the world, how can creation see God? If it cannot see him through us. Are you with me? Okay, so I want to get back to John 1:12. What does it mean to receive? The word in the Greek is lambano, which means to receive near, to really, to earnestly, to not just to acknowledge. Nie net sommer net losweg nie, dis om regtig te ontvang, daai woord. Almal wat hom aangeneem het aan hulle, dat hy mag geen kinders van God te word. Maar luister na hierdie een. Then Paul comes in Romans 5:17, if you can put that on fire. Romans 5:17 says this thing. He says, if by the trespass or the transgression of Adam, sin reigned, I say much more, I say, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Now listen, there's the word receive again. That's lambano again. In Afrikaans sê dit prachtig. Hy sê, hulle wat die gawe van die genade, die gawe van die gerechtigheid ontvang. Luister mooi, om Jesus aan te neem, of om die gawe van die genade, die gawe van die gerechtigheid te ontvang. Besef julle, daar is een groot verskil. Baie mense het Jesus aangeneem en niks ontvang. Baie mense glo in God, glo in Jesus Christus, maar hulle glo nie van God nie. Hoor jy? Die Christendom glo in God. Die duivels glo ook in God. Wat is die verskil? Glo jy God? Do you believe God when he says, I have included you 2,000 years before you were born, I included you in the cross. I included you in the resurrection of my son. I see a new creation if I see you. There's no condemnation. You can do nothing. You can do nothing which will ever change my mind about you again. The only thing you can do to change my mind is you have to cross out the cross. If you could do that, which is impossible. Okay, so that's the way God sees it. And that is why, this is an important one. Julle moet dit onthou. Paulus sê, ons ken dus van nou af niemand meer dat hy wees. What does he mean? He helps us out there. He says, we realize, we make mistakes. Ons maak ons allemaal fouten. But God says, I'm not looking at your mistakes. I'm looking at the price that my son paid for you. Huh? Besef jy, as ek besef, ten spuite van my foute, het jy al gesien, die ma sê vir die kinders, op as jy gaan val, of al die kind. Huh? Want as ek loop en kyk, ek gaan val, en val ek. Maar as ek daar kyk, val ek nie. You see? So, if I concentrate on my mistake, I'll be in a constant battle for the rest of my life to rectify them. Tell me, how many of you guys are battling with this? I have to fight this. Ek moet al hierdie dinge in my lewe regkry. Paulus het gesukkel met die ding. Paulus kom en hy sê, julle moet julle lede wat op aarde is doodmaak. Julle moet vertel al die goeie. Dis alles werke. Wat is lewe? Lewe is om oortuig te wees. Nou, kyk mooi. Ons het gesê, om die gawe van die genade, die gawe van die geregtigheid, te ontvang. Maar die gawe is nie een gawe nie. Jy sien, ek kan hierdie handsak vat, en ek kan vir jou sê, Natasha, hier is jou handsak. Hy is nog vol geld ook, denk ek, hy is zwaar nogal. Right. Hier is jou geskenk. Nee, nou ontvang sy geskenk. Maar die gawe van Godse genade, die gawe van Godse geregtigheid, is die persoon. Dis Jesus Christus. Sy naam is die Heer onse geregtigheid. Goed, so, jy sien, om nou die gawe van die genade, die gawe van die geregtigheid te ontvang, is bietjie meer as om Jesus aan te neem. Sien jy? Maar kom, ons gaan nog een op. Ek wil vir julle vraag. Toe God die mens gemaakt het, na sy beeld en gelijkenis, het hy dadelijk die mens, sommige vroeg die mens slaap gemaakt, die vrou het hom uitgehaald, toe net een man oorgeblij, julle verstaan dit nie. Een mens minus een vrou is een man. Julle weet hoe word een man weer een mens. As hy trou, dan sê sy vrou vir hom na paar maanden, het, en ken nie een mens. Moet daai deur toebou en hom hier na toe skuif. Alright. Nee. What did he do? He removed woman from man. He made her into a helpmate. Help wat by hom pas. En toe hy die vrou na die bank toe bring, toe sê sy, daaroor sal die vader sy moeder, die man sy vader en moeder verlaat, sy vrou aanteef, en die twee sal een vlees wees. Hy sê, hierdie verborgenheid is groot, sê Paulus, maar ek sê dit met die oog op Christus en sy gemeente. Die verborgenheid is groot, ek sê dit met die oog op Christus en sy gemeente. So, waarvan praat ons hier? Ons praat van een liefdesverhouding tussen man en een vrou, wat niks anders is as een opvoering, as een vertoning van dit wat God begeer, met my en jou. Nou wil ek jou iets vraag, julle vrouwens. Wie van julle het julle mans aangeneem? Nou stille ragie so. Who received your husband like you received Jesus? Now Jesus is our heavenly groom. What did he do to us? From here, actually from there, but let's take it from here, the past 2,000 years, and if you're 28 now, for 28 years in your life, he's been courting you. Hy het jou die hof gemaakt. Hy het vir jou complimente gegee. Hy het vir jou beloftes gemaakt. Hy het vir jou geskenke gegee. Come on, is dit nie wat hy doen nie? Hoekom? Because he wants to marry you. He wants your hand in marriage. Okay. Dus sê vir my, julle vrouwens, julle het gesê, julle het nie julle mans aangeneem nie. Wat het julle gedoen? Julle het ja gesê vir hulle. Why? Because you allowed yourself to fall in love. Why is it that we do it differently when it comes to our heavenly groom? If you can allow yourself to fall in love with him, then the answer is yes. Everybody has to pray a prayer for you to receive Jesus. You've already said yes. You've been anticipating the day. The answer is yes, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded of his love for me. How many people has received Jesus without any knowledge, any insight of the fact that he loved them? Come on. Can you now see? Om Jesus aan te neem, to receive him, John 1:12, to receive, om te ontvang, die gave van die genade, die gave van gerechtigheid, Romans 5:17. But now, in a place where we say, Lord, you've won my heart. I've heard the good news. I'm responding. Now listen to this good news. The good news is, I love you. I cleansed you. I made you holy. Without blemish. Without spot or wrinkle. Ephesians 5:25-27. Ek het jou sonder vlek of rimpel, sonder gebrek voor God gestel. Heilig, gereinig. Why? Because I love you. And I'm holy. And I want to my holiness to live in your sanctified body, in holiness. That's God's heart. And have you responded to that? You see, Dis wat ek nie verstaan nie. Baie mense het Jesus aangeneem. En so het gesê, hulle het 'n verhouding van soorte. Maar Jesus is iets anders. Hier is die huwelik. Hier is die liefdesverhouding. Wat my gryp. As ek luister vanmôre, Shane, I listen to the songs that you were singing. I don't know them, but they're great. But the theme of this morning is the love of God. Our highest calling. The liefdesverhouding. Skielik kom alles in plek. Wat is my roeping in die lewe? What would you say is my calling? My calling to be the bride of Christ. If they ask you guys, your congregation, what's your mission? What's your vision? To be the bride of Christ. That's all. Everything that flows, all activities, shall I say, that flows out of it, should flow out of this conception of the intimacy between you and Him. That's God's heart for you. I don't know how much time I've left. Hoe laat het ons begin? Wanneer moet ons ophou? Ek wil hierdie ding, ek wil hom prakties maak. So the question now is, looking at all these things, how do we put this into practice? How do we pray now? Henna staan nie môre op en sy sê vir my, sal jy asseblief vir my vandag dit en sal jy dit en sal jy dit en sal jy dit? Sal jy my beskerm, sal jy my geld vir my gee, sal jy vir my? Sy doen dit nie. Why not? Has access to everything. She knows it. So what is it about? It's about a love relationship. Within the love relationship is all. So the question is, can I ask God to forgive me? Do you do it? I cannot, because He's forgiven me. Okay. Are you with me? Are we in agreement? I screw up. Ek maak droog. Julle verstaan. Okay. Ek maak droog. En ek sê, Here, ek's jammer. Why do I say I'm sorry? I don't say I'm sorry to be forgiven. I've been forgiven 2,000 years before I was born. Why do I say I'm sorry? Say I'm sorry because I want to restore the relationship. I want to get my focus back. Jy sien, ek en Henda verstaan vergifnis. Sy selde nodig om my te vergewe, maar sy moet dit soms doen. Maar ek sê nogtans vir haar, ek is jammer. And that is to restore relationship. Goed, so verstaan ons die ding. Ek kan dus nie meer vir God vra vir vergifnis nie. I can just say, if I made a mistake, I can say, Lord, thank you for the cross. This was included in the cross. Listen, this is not a license to sin. This is not a license to do what I like. But because I love Him, I don't want to. If I'm compelled by love, then it works. Otherwise, it's obedience. Oh, there's another one. Do you live by obedience? Or do you live by persuasion? Do you do the right things out of obedience or by persuasion? See, obedience is a word that we've been using. We, with a true gospel, we in grace, not works anymore. We spoke about obedience and obedience and obedience. Listen, if you do it out of obedience, it works. If you do it out of persuasion, it's true faith. Come on. You see the difference between obedience? Obedience is good. But persuasion is so much better. Okay, now let's go get back to this forgiveness thing. I have to get to the thing. Complete it now. I've been teaching people and say, listen, you have to forgive. God has forgiven you. That means God has forgiven the guy next to you as well. So you have to forgive him. He has transgressed against you. He's done something bad. And and now you have to forgive him. Because if you don't forgive him, it's like a jail sentence. You inside, you give him the key. You don't forgive him, so you stay inside and he's roaming around. He's not even thinking about you. That's actually true. That's what's happening. But listen, listen, listen to this. If I am persuaded that Jesus took the sins of the world away, who do I have to forgive? Come and help me. If I'm persuaded that Jesus in one sacrifice dealt with sin for time and eternity, whom do I have to forgive? You're forgiven. I'm persuaded. I don't have to forgive you. I'm persuaded you are forgiven. So what do I have to, why do I want to meddle into, kom wil ek inmeng in hierdie saak? God het jou vergewe. God het jou vergewe. Ek is oortuig God het jou vergewe. As God jou vergewe het, hy het my vergewe, dan is ons twee al twee vergewe. Maak nie saak wat jy gedoen het nie. So ek het nie meer iemand om te vergewe nie. Haha. Is dit nie great nie? Hè? Besef jy wat beteken dit? Beteken dat jy op hierdie aarde rondloop asof niemand nog ooit iets kwaad aan jou gedoen het. Nobody's ever done anything against you because it's forgiven. Forgiven means I will remember their sins and their iniquities no more. So I don't think about it. As it occurs, I don't think about it. Come on. Can you see what is true forgiveness? Forgiveness is in persuasion, not in obedience. It's good to forgive by obedience, but it's so much better if it's persuasion. Because if it's obedience, you know what we do in obedience? I'm obedient today, but tomorrow you remind me of it and I just withdraw my obedience for a while. Huh? Is it new, Smarky? Come on. Right? Okay. Okay, have we got this thing? Okay. Persuasion, obedience. Okay, how do we get persuaded? How do we fall in love? This is the important thing. It's nice to talk about it, but how do we fall in love? See, if you allow yourself, women folk, you understand me better. But it happens to us as well. We're courting you. We guys, we're courting you. We give you gifts, give you compliments. We spend time with you. We call you again and again. Okay. Can you see what happens? At first, you enjoy our affection. Very good. Jy geniet ons vlerksleep, ons hofmakerij, reg. En dan, op 'n stadium, then it happens. You lose your footing. You fall in love with this guy. Natasha, do you hear that? Okay. You fall in love with this guy. And once you fall in love with him, the answer is yes. Whenever he pops, the answer is yes, I fall in love with him. You see, we need to fall in love with Jesus. We have a relationship of sorts, but do we have a love relationship? And I think the problem is, we all entered into the gate by John 1:12. Maybe we've added Romans 5:17 to it. But we need more. We need to spend enough time for the persuasion to come. And if the persuasion comes, then I'm falling in love with him. Then my relationship with him is a love relationship. Like ek het vlinders in my maag, ek het hierdie in my knie. Come on, can you do that? If you don't know that, I want to urge you this morning. Frequent his presence. Frequent his love for you. Allow him to enter. Allow him to sweep you off your feet. Get to the point where you fall in love. You're a child of God. I don't have a problem. Ek het julle gesê, God is nie spyt vir my. Toe jy om aangeneem het, het hy ingekom in jou. Al het jy dit nie reg verstaan nie. Al was dit vrees. Maar luister, hy sê, from your mother down. I want to play the love game with you. I want to be intimate with you. That's our highest calling. To be intimate with him. As we are intimate as husband and wife. Leaving one place. Paul says, he become one with a woman, become one flesh with her, but we become one with God, becomes one in spirit with Him. You see, the ecstasy, the climax of being one, sexually one, man and woman, a man and his wife together, is just a comparison in the spirit. Do you have that? Experience that? See, if there's no, it's not really love. If I haven't been swept off my feet, I'll never experience this. This is the highest ecstasy, the highest that one can ever have. You see, that changes my whole situation in the sense that I don't have to compete with anyone. I don't have to compare myself with anyone anymore. Why? Because I'm good enough for the King of Kings, for the Lord of Lords. He's my everything. And what happens in the process? In the process, I conceive. I conceive of every promise that God makes, or that He ever made. Jesus is the yes in that promises. We add utter the amen. So I conceive. I'm like Mary. I said, let it be with me according to your word. And what gebeur? The conception, die fetus begin groei. En groei. Totdat die Christus in ons begin uitstort in die salwing. En Christus onder ons word. And then people will take note. And people will take note. Listen, the outpouring of the Spirit, was it from heaven? From inside? I'm talking day of Pentecost. From heaven? From inside. When Jesus raised from the dead, He blew unto them, breathed unto them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, is He a person? He's a person, He's a person. So you can't have a part of Him and then get another part. He doesn't come in with an arm and a leg, and then you get something else. Huh? He's in or he's not in. Okay. So they received the Spirit. Then Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. Now what is He talking about? He's talking about the power from on high is now inside. It's not on high anymore. It's inside. And the power has to be outpoured. So the vine fat had to fill up. And that's why they spent the 10 days changing their minds, getting themselves in tune, getting that vine fat full. And on the day of Pentecost, the 50th day after Jesus' resurrection, corresponding with Sinai, Mount Sinai, the whole mountain was ablaze, enough fire for the whole of Israel, which they refused. Okay? And what happened? The Spirit poured out, and people saw it. The anointing in them had no effect. But the anointing among them suddenly had that whole place in chaos. See the difference? Now the point is, what did we do in Pentecost? In our Pentecostal movement, we said you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, if you don't speak in tongues, you're actually an inferior Christian. Okay? So if you don't speak in tongues, we'll teach you to speak in tongues, but in tongues you'll speak, because you cannot be an inferior Christian, because you are comparing yourself to others. You need this gift, you need that gift, you need the gift. You've got the giver of the gifts. What do you need? Huh? David said, I lack nothing, because I have the giver of the gifts. So the gift that will work is the one in according to which my vine fat has been filled. Do we allow it to be filled? Can you see what happens here? So the outpouring of the Spirit is because the vine fat is full. So if it's not full, don't even think of it. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself with spiritual things if the vine fat is not full. So it has to be full. And you see, that's why I need to play the love game. You see, my first calling is not to be in the limelight. My first calling is not to preach the gospel. My first calling is not to lead other people to Jesus. My first calling is to be the bride of the heavenly groom. Jesus, Enda gave me 3 sons. And I tell you, that is Baliki. Okay, she gave me 3 sons, but I didn't marry her for sons. I married her for loveliness. She's doing a lot of things, good things, but I didn't marry her for that. I married her for love. Woman folk, remember that your husband didn't ask you to do his washing and make supper. He asked you to be his mistress for the rest of his life. Jesus wants you to be his mistress. Be his mistress. Okay. So you see what happened. When we conceive, when we play this love game, we're not involved in the world. It's not important. We're involved with him. And then we conceive. And when the wine fat is full and it overflows, the anointing, the word that became flesh in us, my flesh becomes word. My fleshly words becomes word of God. And it has an effect in my surroundings. And then I start producing an offspring. Okay? But that's secondary to the relationship. We preachers, we pastors, we often fall for this thing that our primary becomes our ministry. Our ministry is to him. That's primary. Yeah. The rest must flow out of it. And if it's not flowing, don't let it flow. Don't let it flow. If it's not flowing, Solomon says that, I say, ek besweer julle dan, dochters van Jerusalem, by die takboeke en by die gimfokke van die veld, om nie die liefde op te wek of die liefde te behaag, totdat aan ten syde die liefde behaag nie. Don't rush it. Don't push it. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy the fellowship. And you will see how in the enjoyment of it, the wine fat fills up. The anointing pours out. The anointing will change your circumstances. The anointing, I cannot ask God for provision. His provision is in me. You will see how the anointing changes your circumstances. You will see how the anointing changes your health situation. How the anointing, and with the anointing comes the confession of the name, of the true confession of the name, of the inhoud, the waarde, the value of the name of Jesus. And then the angels are commanded to look after us. So the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Okay, I want to stop. And I'll stop with this. You see, it starts with intimacy. Then it goes to authority. But long after authority is passed, long after the devil has been bound finally, long after the antichrist and the false prophet has been thrown into the pool of fire, long after that, forever, the love relationship stays intact. So you see what happens. From intimacy comes authority. Do not let authority lead you away from intimacy. Authority is just something happens. You see, it's not important. It's important, but it's not important. What is more important is intimacy. So, I see authority. I see the effect in my circumstances. I see the effect in my finances, in my health, in protection. I see the effect around me. But I don't marvel in that. I go back. I marvel in the love relationship. May I bless you this morning. With one thing, to fall in love, to truly fall in love with him. Because once that has happened, our children will have a ons praat in met die fietsry van afdraan, hy sal afdraan en te ry. Dit is so makkelijk wees. Want al die ouens wat verlief is op hom, sal een wees met hom, automatisch. Rest Here, thank you. Father, we thank you. What a blessing. What a blessing to be able to share with one another. Just to know that you love us. You've been longing for us for so long. We've been playing religion, not realizing that you want to be intimate with us. Thank you for everyone that has ears this morning, that has ears to hear. Everyone that is moved by your Spirit this morning to enter into this beautiful, this holy relationship with you. To enjoy you every day, every minute. And to experience how the love relationship changes man, changes surroundings, changes our town, our country, eventually changes the world. We love you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.